from ABC News. I'm Karen Chase. President Bush is vowing to find and punish the terrorists behind the aircraft attacks that toppled New York's mighty World Trade Center towers and broadsided the Pentagon, setting it ablaze.
Freedom itself was attacked this morning by a faceless coward. And freedom will be defended.
Air Force jets were just off the wings as Air Force One flew President Bush out of Florida today. The president has since left for an undisclosed location. New York City Mayor Rudolph Giuliani said the death toll is unknown and unimaginable.
I think it's going to be a horrible number. I saw people jumping out of the World Trade Center.
The chairman of New York's Port Authority calls it worse than Pearl Harbor and added, and we don't know who the enemy is. But U.S. officials say there are some indications that people linked to Saudi terrorist Osama bin Laden are behind the attack. ABC's Bill Greenwood joins us live now from Washington with the latest from there. Bill, what's happening?
Karen, there was significant damage to the west side of the Pentagon. All federal office buildings have been closed and evacuated. Top government officials have been moved to safe locations, and highways are clogged by employees fleeing the city. The D.C. National Guard has been ordered to duty. Military fighter planes are circling parts of Washington, and there is an enormous security force around the Capitol and White House. Karen?
ABC's Bill Greenwood, live in Washington. Aside from the planes that slammed into the World Trade Center towers and the Pentagon, a United flight went down in Pennsylvania right after a passenger telephoned authorities and told them it had been hijacked. There were no survivors. ABC's Lisa Stark says it was one of four planes hijacked.
It is perpetrated by
all were on cross-country flights. Two of the planes, the American plane, one from Boston to L.A., one from Dulles Airport in the Washington, D.C. area to L.A. The two United planes, one from Newark to San Francisco and one from Boston to Los Angeles.
All planes have been grounded in the U.S. and Canada. The U.S. military is on its highest state of alert. You're listening to ABC News.
America under attack. WABC's coverage continues.
This is Bruce Anderson, WABC News, and with me is Babita Hariani. And Babita, what's the latest on the situation for folks getting out of town?
Well, Bruce, many New Yorkers have left work early. Others have been told their offices closed, but the problem is where to go. Now, every possible route out of the city is pretty much closed off. We did just get word a couple of minutes ago that Metro North is now running trains, and people can get out on Metro North. Now, the tunnels and bridges still shut down. Subway and train service, most of it New Jersey Transit, also halted. It is absolute mayhem at Penn and Grand Central stations as people just wait for any word as to when they might get out of the city. And many others are flocking to St. Vincent's Hospital. New Yorkers, as wonderful as they are, Bruce, I heard the plea to donate blood. There are right now a couple or 3,000 people waiting in very long lines to donate blood. Still others are being asked to help out by doctors.
Anyone who would like to donate blood on St. Vincent's, third floor on St. Vincent's Hospital or the clinic, any volunteers, and it will be on the clinic side on 12th Street, donating blood, 11th Street and Greenwich. To donate blood.
And that's a doctor at St. Vincent's, Bruce, who says you can also go to any hospital in the metro area if you want to donate blood to help out. Bruce?
Thank you very much. Babita Hariani reporting. Once again, we should mention that our military, the U.S. military, is on high alert at this time, and we have reports now that aircraft carriers are heading toward New York Harbor as we speak. Once again, if you'd like to give blood, there's a number to call to make arrangements, perhaps if not today, tomorrow or the next day. The number is 1-800-GIVE-LIFE. Also, if you have a person you know, a loved one or a friend that worked at the World Trade Center, the number to call for information about individuals, the line will be busy, I can assure you of that, but you can keep trying, 212-604-7285. Now, let's check and see what's happening with the roadways, and another update on the rail situation. Here is Debbie Duhaime. Debbie.
Okay, thank you very much, Bruce. Bruce, of course, you want to avoid Lower Manhattan by the World Trade Centers. Ferries, people can take the ferry from Pier 11, that's West 38th Street, East 34th Street area, Pier A as well, from Battery Park to New Jersey, Brooklyn, and Queens. Now, here are some other closures that we have for you. It looks like New Jersey-bound Bayonne Bridge, Gothwells Bridge, and Outer Bridge Crossing open into New Jersey, but they are closed heading into Staten Island. Now, keep in mind, at the Upper East River Crossings, the Whitestone Bridge is open into Queens, but closed into the Bronx. Throgs Neck Bridge, closed as you head into the Bronx, but it is open Queens-bound. Over at the Triborough Bridge, you are open Queens-bound. eastbound, but of course you cannot get into the city over at the Triborough Bridge. Lincoln, Holland, and George, all three still closed in both directions. Queensbound 59th Street Bridge is open. The Queens Midtown Tunnel into Queens open. However, they are closed Manhattan bound. And of course, the Lower East River crossings over in Lower Manhattan, everything shut down. Brooklyn Battery Tunnel, the Williamsburg Bridge, the Manhattan Bridge, the Brooklyn Bridge closed in both directions. Over at the Verrazano Bridge, Staten Island bound is open. However, Brooklyn bound is closed at the Verrazano. LIRR running some limited service from Penn Station. The westbound LIE, the Southern State, and the Northern State, everything shut down at the Queens Line. You cannot get into the city from Long Island right now. And New Jersey Transit, all bus service into and out of New York has been suspended until further notice. However, bus service within the state of New Jersey will continue to operate. Now, keep in mind, also in New Jersey, eastbound 4 is shut down at Jones Road in Englewood. 46 is closed through Fort Lee. Eastbound 3 is closed by the New Jersey Turnpike over in the Secaucus area. The northbound New Jersey Turnpike has been shut at Interchange 11, and also the eastbound Newark Bay extension that brings you out to the Holland Tunnel shut down as well. So again, those are the closures, and of course, all the area airports are shut as well. I'm Debbie Duhaime on 77 WABC.
Thank you very much, Debbie Duhaime, and now let's check in with George Weber. He is in Lower Manhattan. George, what's the situation there?
Well, I'll tell you, there's still emergency crews heading right through Brooklyn on the other end of the Manhattan Bridge. We're still thousands of people from Manhattan are walking over the bridge. They are allowed to do that. Now, I perhaps might have made the mistake of walking over the bridge myself. I'm now attempting to get back over with a bicycle, which I picked up over here. But I should also tell you that when I was back in some of these neighborhoods, Brooklyn Heights, Park Slope, Cobble Hill, Carroll Gardens, the cars are covered with brown soot, and so are the streets, dusty as cars go by from the debris and from the smoke that came from the two World Trade Center towers. And as you walk down the streets here in downtown Brooklyn, probably one out of three, one out of four people are wearing those dust to protect themselves from sucking in any of this debris, because that cloud, as you can see, if you look out your windows anywhere, is pretty high up, and it's hovering kind of down over Brooklyn right now. So people are back to business here in Brooklyn, at least.
I think we lost George Weber there, live from downtown Brooklyn, the other side of the Brooklyn Bridge, where many of the persons originally stuck on the island of Manhattan have been herded across, but only by foot, not by vehicle.
Right, and he was saying people were just abandoning their cars, leaving them, walking over, and as he was saying, once you're out, you can't get back in. That's it.
That's right. Well, I have a feeling that will change, because eventually the island will have to release the people on it.
Metro North is now beginning to run trains. So.
Right.
And
the
Long Island
starting
to loosen up a little bit.
It'll be interesting to see whether or not once you're off you can get back. My guess is the mayor is going to suggest that the...
everybody take a sick day tomorrow.
At least one, maybe more. Absolutely.
Well, at 8 minutes after the hour of two, I was struck by Bruce Anderson's report that two United States aircraft carriers are actually steaming towards New York Harbor.
That's correct. I don't know where they're coming from, but they are heading this way.
That would be an absolute first that I can ever think of in the history of our country. Generally, an aircraft carrier comes here for a port visit.
That's right.
To Stapleton, or even there to dock along the Intrepid. But never as a means of defense that might be required to thwart off further attacks.
Sir, I'd be happy to see him, actually.
Well, absolutely Ron. And I think it's a very good move, obviously defensively, but it's also a very good move psychologically as well. Obviously, an aircraft carrier brings with it not only aircraft, but brings with it radar and other defensive measures to put up sort of a curtain around New York City as best is able. As Richard was saying before, it's impossible to defend against something like this unless you've got some sort of forewarning, of which obviously we had none this morning.
Well, in fact, so much security had been taken in the aftermath of the World Trade Center blast in 1993 when, you remember, Mohammed Salameh had rented that Ryder truck in Jersey City. And the only way we were able to track him down, because naturally when that vehicle imploded with the 1,500 pounds of nitrate that was stored in it, was through a VIN number and the fact that Mohammed Salameh had gone back to the Ryder truck
to
rental
to collect his deposit.
Hey, listen, 50 bucks
vehicle.
Is 50 bucks.
That's right, and that's what led to his arrest and ultimately unraveled the entire conspiracy, led to the arrest of the others.
Absolutely unbelievable. And because of that, major security precautions were taken. Ron, you spoke because you represented some of the co-conspirators, or at least Sheikh Omar Abdelrahman, temporarily, who they had planned originally before they were both busted at that actually garage-like housing facility there in Long Island City, where they had the nitrate in the gallons. But they had planned to bomb simultaneously the Holland Tunnel, the Lincoln Tunnel, the United Nations building, and the FBI building.
Right, as well as the George Washington Bridge. And we actually had the tapes of the Islamic plotters that were discussing the mechanism and the logistics of actually planning the bomb in the Holland Tunnel, and the concern that a couple articulated in the course of the conspiracy that innocent Muslims would be killed. And basically they shrugged their shoulders and said, well, if that happens, that happens, but it's necessary in order to carry out the mission. And the difficulty here is, unlike typical cases of political violence where there's some sort of a goal, get Great Britain out of Northern Ireland or get the United States out of Vietnam, there's an overall strategic objective. In the case of the Islamist extremists, there isn't an overall strategic objective except to kill as many of the infidels, to kill as many of the Satanists, the devil worshippers.
Are we ruling out the fact that this might not be part of those Islamic extremists, and that this might very well be a Palestinian splinter group?
Well, most of the Palestinian leadership and the Palestinian organization under Yasser Arafat, under the umbrella
Yasser Arafat has already
liberation organization. I mean, they need the United States. They want the United States. They want U.S. support.
I know, but there are some splinter groups that are maniacal and fanatical and totally divorced from any kind of political reality
as well. A betting man, I would guess it would be an Islamist extremist group, if for no other reason than the Trade Center. The original plot to blow up the Trade Center was designed to destroy the World Trade Center. The idea was to collapse building number one into building number two. That failed. And remember when Ramzi Youssef, who was the mastermind of the first attack, was arrested and was brought back to the United States, they actually made a point of flying over the World Trade Center, the federal authorities who had captured him, flying over the Trade Center to show Ramzi Youssef the World Trade Center that he tried to destroy, and they said to him, see, it's still there.
Yeah, well, and Ramzi Youssef's response was, only because I didn't have enough resource and didn't have enough money, and he had a big, sly, foxy grin. So whether it's Saddam Hussein, Osama bin Laden, or elements of Hezbollah or Hamas or some PLO splinter group, Richard, it's all the same. They're in solidarity to destroy the same, Curtis.
That's what I'm saying.
Richard, right. Yeah, you look
well,
at the Great
same,
Nation.
The same
Who is
effect.
Their enemy? Who are their enemies? The United States and Israel.
Well, the Palestine Liberation Organization doesn't view the United States as an enemy. The Palestine Liberation Organization views the United States as an ally, a friend, somebody that's supplying a large amount of money to the Palestinian Authority to keep it afloat.
Yeah,
they're
friends
not
like
all
that.
The same.
What we tend to do here is throw everybody in the same
especially
basket.
When they're all Arabs or Muslims.
And correct me if I'm wrong about this, but it is what I remember. Hamas has decried the killing of civilians, haven't they?
Oh, sure. Sure they have. But Richard, before you become an apologist for Hamas, let's get an update from Babita Hariani.
Just a quick note for all of our listeners out there. New Jersey Transit, we reported a couple minutes ago that Metro North has resumed some service. Now New Jersey Transit has restored extremely limited, they're calling it, train service on the Northeast Corridor, the North Jersey Coastline, and the Raritan Valley Line. But then all the trains in to New York remain suspended on the Hudson-Bergen light rail line.
But so, the ferry is working.
Is running, yes, and we do have some service on Metro North as well. So it is starting to resume,
John Gelman, you had mentioned that friends of yours working in the World Trade Center, at least they would have normally been at work at that time, later on reported that they were safe and sound to their loved ones, but from the New Jersey side, mm-hmm. which would imply to me that they may have turned off initially the third rail system in the PATH train tunnel, which goes right underneath the World Trade Center, and maybe scurried people out that way as part of their emergency evacuation of both World Trade Center towers.
Although it's still very disturbing now at 2:14, we still don't have any official guesstimate.
Ron, I'm with you 100%.
As to casualties.
I'm shocked.
Which must suggest that the figure is so high as to absolutely stagger the imagination, because otherwise we would start to hear reports.
And I've been speculating on that because we had a report from Washington, I believe a senator from Virginia, if I'm not mistaken, he said that he had heard that there were estimates of 10,000. We sort of poo-pooed that as being completely out of the ballpark, astronomical.
Is that unrealistic?
Well, no, I don't think it is. I don't think it is. And I think that, Ron, maybe you've touched on something. I believe the mayor probably has words that are going to be incredibly disturbing.
Right. I mean, if you figure there were 10,000 people in each building, or at least each building holds 10,000 people on a normal workday.
50 within the area, at least,
and 50
minimum.
Within the entire area. Now, we know that a substantial number of people did get out, because we actually spoke to one right here who was on, the 84th floor of the second building, and he was able to evacuate.
God bless them. I've talked with a number of people who were there as well.
But even so, 10,000 would be, I guess, conceivable, although... You become trite after a while. Inconceivable, unimaginable.
I would tend to disagree, only because, unfortunately, having suffered the first emergency in 1993, they really perfected their emergency exit techniques at the World Trade Center. They obviously had audio. They put lights into the stairwells. They've run trainings before.
But let's put this in perspective.
Yes.
If it's 2,000, there were 2,000-some-odd people killed at Pearl Harbor. And remember the significance of Pearl
Harbor.
Right,
and that was an attack on a military base, a military installation.
Well, there were civilians killed as
well. Right,
but
it was primarily directed at a military target.
I know. What happens is we lose, you throw around thousands and thousands, the difference between the 2,000 and a 5,000 and a 6,000. If it's the person that you love who is dead, it changes your life forever. But you lose perspective when you throw around figures of that size when they encompass human lives.
I think that the point the president made, Sean Hannity mentioned it a little while ago, that freedom has been attacked here. And what has struck me in the almost 6 hours that since this tragedy has taken place is the overwhelming sadness that I feel, and I can tell that everyone else feels, and sort of the belief that things just aren't going to be the way they were.
Well, I think
at 8 o'clock this morning.
That's certainly right. Whatever the aftermath of this is,
just
things in America, psychologically, politically, in terms of civil rights and civil liberties,
correct,
have changed in this country in a fundamental way, and I don't think they will ever be the same again for quite some time.
Feelings about the city too, as we go through
New York is going to be
New York City, yeah, and especially we're going through a change of administration here in the mayor's office. It's a passing of a feeling about this city, a feeling that of the city coming back and being goodness and being on the upsurge. Certainly, the New Yorkers themselves not responsible for this. But you go through that period of mourning, it's like when John F. Kennedy was assassinated. The country changed. They called it a death of innocence for America. It may not be something that has great political or sociological significance, but there is a zeitgeist that changes after an event like this.
This will be one of those days that will be marked on the calendar that we will all hear in talk radio say, do you remember when...
Where you were
that ninth day, the 11th day of September, when the United States was attacked. We also have to think about the practicalities of the future of the infrastructure that was destroyed along with the building and the thousands of people.
And momentarily we expect the mayor to be joining us with announcements from his new emergency command center. Although I will tell you this, I think the American people collectively, having realized the kind of response we had in the aftermath of Pearl Harbor, are going to expect something once we can identify who these terrorists are and who they are aligned with, a lot more than what we saw Bill Clinton do in the midst of the Monica Lewinsky hearings when he sent those missiles off to the Mujahideen training camps of Osama bin Laden in Afghanistan.
Well, right. We hope
doing
for
nothing.
Something in between
and the aspirin
hitting
factory
an aspirin
in the
factory
Sudan.
On one hand and in turning thousands of Japanese Americans on the other hand.
That we have not resolved the bombing of the USS Cole off Yemen. We've let that one slip through and let through our so-called Arab Muslim allies get away with not aiding and abetting us for that. Haven't solved the bombings of the barracks there in Saudi Arabia, although finally arrests were made. And remember, in Tanzania and Kenya, our American embassies were blown off the face of the map. Osama bin Laden, his agents taking credit. And we were told, don't give them the death penalty here in New York. We don't want to enrage the terrorists.
I hardly think this is the appropriate time to be talking about killing other people for other
crimes. Well, I just want to mention one of the preventative measures that was suggested by those bleeding hearts out there to say, don't give them the death penalty because then they will retaliate. Well, guess what? It may well be that they retaliated anyway. But up next, we're going to get our ABC Radio National News update. Hopefully, more information about the Pentagon blast because we haven't been updated as much as the World Trade Center.
America under attack. Our coverage continues from WABC Radio News. This is WABC, New York City.
America's symbols of might, both economically and militarily, have been attacked by terrorists. The World Trade Center in New York City demolished. The Pentagon in Washington, D.C. partially demolished.
The resolve of our great nation is being tested. But make no mistake, we will show the world that we will pass this test.
Commander-in-Chief President Bush, the Atlantic Fleet's been called to help defend New York City and Washington, D.C. The World Trade Center was leveled by two commercial airliners that were hijacked and flown right into each tower about 18 minutes apart. This man helped rescue some people.
It's pandemonium. I mean, it was something like out of a Bruce Willis Die Hard movie. He was there and he was crying and there was another gentleman crying and for help. We couldn't get to him. We tried to get through the... We went through the buildings. We were lost. Both staircases, the backside was completely blown away.
There was another plane that hit the Pentagon, partially demolishing that building. A fourth plane crashed near Pittsburgh. It was thought to be on its way to attack Camp David. Larry Jacobs, ABC News.
America under attack. WABC's coverage continues.
2:21, as we rejoin you with our round-the-clock coverage here at WABC. We're also simulcasting with the ESPN Radio Network. Ron Kuby, who's continued on with me since early morning, John Gambling, and now Richard Bay. That was the first time, gentlemen, we heard that that other United flight, apparently, that had been hijacked out of Newark Airport on its way to the West Coast, in fact, was being diverted towards Camp David. Possibly to literally crash in there.
That was the 747.
Yes, that's the first time we've heard that from our ABC news report. But so interesting an interview we had with John Nance, our ABC News aviation expert, who gave us so much insight, so much of his experience as a pilot in the past, that we feel we'd like to replay that right now.
I do want to go to John Nance, the ABC News. John, excuse me, but are you the airline expert for ABC?
Well, more than that, John, just the aviation analyst.
There you go. What can you tell us about the hijackings today?
Well, I wish I could tell you anything substantive. We do know this, and that is that whatever they did, they probably replicated at least five times, and they blew past all existing security, which is not surprising for a very well-coordinated group. This is a monstrously well-coordinated attack. I can also tell you, and this is nothing in the world but John Nance talking as a veteran airline pilot. There are 29,000 of us airline pilots in the United States, and I don't think any one of them was involved in this unless we had a turncoat in the group. They had their own pilots. No pilot, even at gunpoint, is going to fly an airplane into the World Trade Center or into the Pentagon. You just go ahead and tell them to pull the trigger. It's not going to happen.
John Nance, if you could just tell me something about the security procedures that would be followed when a plane is hijacked and it's diverted from its course, what notifications are made on the ground?
Well, first of all, we've got to know for sure we've got a hijacking, and there's a special code that the crew sometimes can get in. I doubt there was a live pilot up there to do that in this case, so I imagine that the confusion was pretty high. I imagine that what happened was a certain radio blackout. I'm speculating, you understand, because We don't have any of these early facts yet, but certainly the aircraft is going to be monitored by air traffic control. Even if they turn off the transponder, which is the little device that beeps back at the radar scope every time the radar beam passes the airplane and gives specific information to it, like altitude and heading and airspeed and identification, even if they turn that off in the cockpit, you're still going to have what we call a skin paint. So air traffic control is going to be able to still follow the progress of that flight, even though nobody may be talking to them. What they would not have been able to do is predict what in the world was the intention of anybody in that aircraft, flying that aircraft, if they weren't talking. And I'm sure that if we can recover the data recorders, the flight data recorder especially, of the two airplanes that were flown into the Trade Center, and that's and that monstrous, horrible mess, that's going to be a long time in coming. We're going to have some answers there, and then maybe the one in the Pentagon will be a little easier to ascertain. But the question was, how did they blow past our security? We don't know, but we've got to find that out, and I mean very, very rapidly.
Well, they also, John, this is John Gambling, they also would have had it blown through the door to the cockpit as well, correct?
You would assume that they would have to. There are ways, I suppose, that that you could entice a crew. Well, there are ways, and I'm not going to talk about how, but, you know, the basic idea is we cannot harden up these airplanes and put a bank vault door up there. It just can't happen. Consequently, a determined terrorist, especially one who's suicidal, which is obviously the case here, can manage just about anything that they want to.
John, how easy would it be for three or four guys with guns to blow past the airport security checkpoint station, run down to the end of the concourse, and jump on the first plane that they saw was loaded?
Unfortunately, very easy, if it was a coordinated attack. The problem is that we've got so many flights involved here that it's hard to believe that that could have happened without there have been an opportunity to block the takeoff of at least one of them. So I would tend to think, and again, this is just complete speculation. I have no facts on this whatsoever, but I would tend to think that it was only after the airplanes were off the ground that the takeovers occurred. However, of course, one of the big ticking questions here is how in the world were weapons brought on those airplanes?
All right, at 12:44, we're talking to John Nance. He's our ABC News aviation expert. John, a number of people have come to the conclusion that the World Trade Center was built originally by Nelson Rockefeller to withstand an aviation crash, because we've had our own Empire State Building survive a crash of a B-25 Mitchell bomber, and we didn't see this kind of damage. Is it conceivable that plastic explosives might have been brought on board onto that airliner to actually heighten the amount of damage, to increase the amount of damage done once those airplanes crashed into their intended target?
It is conceivable, considering the fact that we have an inconceivable occurrence here of a takeover of these airplanes, five different flights, then any additional aspect is definitely conceivable. However, those aircraft would have been loaded, were loaded, with a lot of jet fuel, and even though that's not explosive, your best chance on bringing the building down, and they obviously succeeded, is to create not only impact damage, but also to create a hot enough fire to melt the rest of the structure, to melt the structural members to where it will implode on itself, which is essentially what happened.
John?
Whether or not, well, I'll put it this way, the sophistication of this attack is one that you can almost take to the bank. There were structural people involved in trying to make the decision on precisely how to do the most damage.
John, we understand the President of the United States and Air Force One has landed in Louisiana at an Air Force base there, and that he is going to address the nation again at some point, probably within the next hour. We also understand that the FBI is going to address the nation within the next hour. We will, of course, cover both of those here on WABC. But just a quick question for you, John Nance, the aviation expert for ABC News. What are we going to do at our airports now? They're all closed down across the country. When do we think they might reopen?
Well, you're not talking to somebody who's an authority here, but as a member of the system, I can tell you that I would not personally want to see any other jetliner take off for a while until we have a very clear picture of precisely how these airplanes were commandeered.
Back in the late 1960s and early 1970s, when there was a rash of airline hijackings to Cuba, we started a Sky Marshal program, and we actually had Sky Marshals on every flight that was deemed to be at risk. Is there any sense that that's a worthwhile program worth bringing back now? I mean, we have to fly.
We had a previous associate administrator of the FAA who tended to use the Sky Marshal program is their personal police for misbehaving employees, and that was a tragedy. For the most part, the Sky Marshals are a fine force of people, but they can't be everywhere. And I doubt seriously that an individual, well-armed, well-trained, sitting on an airplane, even in this situation, would have been any match for the coordination and the preparation that was obviously at play.
John, this is Bruce Anderson. When you say the you don't want to see a jetliner take off for a while, are you talking hours or days or what?
Bruce, I honestly don't know. I just know that whether or not this is really over is something that's going to take a little some hours to determine. And we can't drop our guard any more than it's already been dropped. But certainly, putting all the air traffic in the United States and Canada on the ground is a pretty good beginning. I would say we first of all have to have a pretty clear picture of how these people got on board those airplanes and commandeered them. If we can get that picture, we can harden the system almost immediately to that particular methodology, because that methodology, you can be sure, was very well thought out and very well planned, and won't be one of three or four that are sitting out there ticking away.
Now, John Nance, we see that when you take an international flight, they have special scanning devices to try to vet out the weapons, the plastic explosives, etc. These were all domestic flights that were hijacked. Is that same technology put into place, or is the technology available not quite able to detect those kinds of explosives and items?
Well, the sad truth is this. Even if we had enough machines and enough people to operate them, it would be virtually impossible to run an airline system if every single bag were scanned. One of the problems is you don't have skilled operators. Some of the machines, the machines are there, but you've got to have very skilled operators who know what to do with them. These are spot checks only, and to harden the system to where it simply can't occur, not unless we want to operate like El Al as a nation, and that means at best 20% of the air traffic we now have.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, I appreciate your input. That's John Nance, our ABC News aviation expert.
And this is WABC New York and 1050 ESPN New York WEVD New York.
The U.S. military is on its highest state of alert at this hour in the wake of an unprecedented terrorist attack on American targets. New York City's Twin Trade Center towers, once the jewel of the Manhattan skyline, crumbled into a heap of dust after being hit by commercial aircraft in what witnesses said was like a scene from a horror movie.
It's pandemonium. I mean, it was something like out of a Bruce Willis Die Hard movie. He was there and he was crying, and there was another gentleman crying and for help. We couldn't get to him. We tried to get through the... We went through the buildings. We were lost. Both staircases, the backside was completely blown away.
The loss of life is untold. The Pentagon was also hit by a plane today, leaving the nation's capital feeling very vulnerable. ABC's Pam Coulter joins us live from Washington with the latest.
Karen, fear, chaos, and anger are the reactions sweeping the capital after the series of terrorist attacks, one of which has left part of the Pentagon smoldering. More than 50 employees are being treated at local hospitals after a large plane hit the building this morning. Explosions were heard or reported near the U.S. Capitol and the State Department. Fire was reported not far from the White House. Federal offices have been evacuated, airports and schools closed, and the D.C. and Virginia National Guards put on alert. Military aircraft said to be patrolling the skies over the Capitol. Karen?
ABC's Pam Coulter live in Washington. A fourth commercial aircraft also crashed today in Pennsylvania, shortly after a passenger aboard telephoned authorities to report it had been hijacked. There were 100 aboard and no survivors. Senator John McCain is calling it an act of war. President Bush is vowing to find and punish the culprits, saying freedom has been attacked by a faceless coward, and freedom will be defended. I'm Karen Chase, ABC News.
America under attack. WABC's coverage continues.
2:32 as we continue our conversation with the changing events over the bombings of the World Trade Center and the Pentagon with Richard Bay, Ron Kuby, who continue, and John Gambling. But we have on the line Jim Kallstrom, former New York director of the FBI. Good afternoon, Jim.
I don't know what's good about it, but I'm here talking to you.
Yeah, James, John Gambling here. Tell me, have you heard anything from your sources that you can add to this besides the tragedy?
John, I can probably only give you a perspective. As you can imagine, anyone that I would want to talk to has got more important things to do than talk to me right now. But this is a real sad day. I mean, this is an event, if we're still teaching history 50 years from now to our children, that we'll hopefully talk about and We need to come together as a nation. Obviously, we need to save whoever we can save in these tragic sites. And then we need to figure out how this happened and who did it, and take strong action so that something like this cannot happen again.
When you were head of the FBI here in New York City, were these scenarios discussed?
Absolutely. I mean, the notion that some horrendous event, and I mean not this particular event, we never discussed anything quite this horrific, but, you know, we had the hatred show up here in 93 in the World Trade Center bombing. Those folks tried to bring down the World Trade Center, which apparently they've now done in 2001. I don't know if it's the same people, but we had the Blind Sheikh and his co-conspirators plot to blow up the Holland Tunnel, the Lincoln Tunnel, the United Nations building, and the FBI building where I sat. We had the bombing of the coal. We had the bombing of the embassies in Africa. We had the bombing of the barracks in Saudi Arabia. There's been plenty of evidence in the last 7 or 8 years of the hatred to us as a people, to us as a society, to our democracy, to our way of life, to our foreign policy. And those of us in law enforcement, myself included, fought hard to have the types of tools so that we could do the very best job that we can do to protect our citizens and protect our national security. And in a free society, that is extremely difficult to do. And it hasn't worked today, unfortunately.
Our information resources, the FBI, the CIA, the national security agencies, the military resources are obviously going to be put to the test here in trying to identify who did this and how it was done. Are we capable of it?
Well, I think we're capable. I think the list of who did this, we already know. Generally, it's a very short list of who did this. I'm speculating at this point. I'm not in the government anymore. But it's not a huge question mark.
Do we know where they are?
I suspect we know where most of them are. We may not know where one individual is, but we know, certainly we know where they are. And the question now is to, in my view, to take them out so that this doesn't happen again, and to not have collateral damage to innocent people. And having said that, I realize
one of the most difficult days in the history of the city and the country.
Jim, we're going to go to Mayor Giuliani right now. Thank you.
What we're all undergoing right now is something that we've had nightmares about, but probably thought wouldn't happen. My heart goes out to all of the innocent victims of this horrible and vicious act of terrorism, acts of terrorism. And our focus now has to be on saving as many lives as possible. We have hundreds of police officers and firefighters who are engaging in rescue efforts in lower Manhattan. I want to thank Governor Pataki for the incredible cooperation and coordination, and including deploying the National Guard that will be available to relieve our police officers and firefighters and emergency workers in the next couple of hours. The governor and I just spoke to the President of the United States. The coordination with the federal government from the time of the first attack has been excellent, including closing off the airspace around Manhattan and doing everything that can possibly be done in the face of this barbaric act to make the city secure. And we will strive now very hard to save as many people as possible and to send a message that the city of New York and the United States of America is much stronger than any group of barbaric terrorists, that our democracy, that our rule of law, that our strength and our willingness to defend ourselves will ultimately prevail. And I'd ask the people of New York City to do everything that they can to cooperate, not to be frightened, to go about their lives as normal. Everything is safe right now in the city, and the people who are doing the relief effort need all the help they can get. And then, Governor, Thank you very much for your assistance and your help and your support. Thank you.
Thank you, Mayor, for your leadership through this crisis. This is a vicious attack upon New York. It's an attack upon America. It's an attack upon the whole concept of freedom and our way of life. And we cannot let these attacks succeed. The first step has to be to make sure we do everything in our power to protect the people and to save the lives of those whose lives are still at risk, and to help those who have been injured. And I want to commend the mayor And I want to thank my colleagues from Connecticut, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, and the federal government have all offered and made ready support to help us deal with this ongoing crisis. The people of New York are not only the freest and most diverse people in the world, we're also, I believe, the most capable of rising to meet the challenges of this type of attack. And right now, we want New Yorkers to remain calm, to go about their business, to appreciate the fact that everything to provide for their safety is being done, to appreciate that everything that can be done to provide for the health and the needs of the people who are still at risk is being done, and that we will continue to work to make sure that we get through this as strongly and quickly as possible. I want to thank the federal administration. Secretary Thompson has been on the phone with me a number of times, as well as the president, for what they are offering and prepared to do. And we're just confident that, while this is a horrible attack, and one that is despicable and really unthinkable in its magnitude, we will get through this, and we will continue to have a great and free country, state, and society.
Do we know the number of casualties at this point, sir?
I don't think we really want to speculate about that. The number of casualties will be more than any of us can bear, ultimately. And I don't think we want to speculate on the number of casualties. The effort now has to be to save as many people as possible. I don't think we will know the answer to that until sometime tomorrow or the next day.
Were there large numbers of firefighters?
There are a large number of firefighters and police officers who are in harm's way, and we don't know how many we've lost. But there's no doubt we've lost some firefighters and police officers.
Do you know anything about the cause of the explosions that brought the two buildings down yet? Was it caused by the planes or by something else?
We believe that it was caused by the after effects of the planes hitting the buildings. We don't know of an additional explosion after that.
Could you tell us, do you expect any further attacks on New York? Is there anything to indicate that there could be more bombs, more planes out there? I know originally there was a report that 8 planes had been hijacked, 4 have only been accounted for. What about the remaining 4, and is there any possibility that there could be bombs on the ground planted by some?
We have no specific information to that effect. Obviously, the city is now closed, the airspace around the city is closed, and we are on heightened alert. But we have no specific information suggesting any further attack.
Mr. Mayor, why are 2 major warships coming into the port of New York?
I think to give the people of New York confidence, to show that the federal government is standing with us, and to just to make certain that nothing further happens. This has been a very, very difficult and traumatic day for the people of the United States and the people of the city. And I think that it's an act that shows that the federal government is going to do everything they can to support us and help us.
Can you have an idea of the extent of the rescue effort that's going on right now in Lower Manhattan? The scope of this operation?
There are over 1,000 rescue workers, probably about 2,000 that are deployed, trying to get into the buildings, trying to find people, trying to search for people. The governor and I spoke a couple of hours ago. The governor has deployed the National Guard to relieve them because our people are going to need reinforcements pretty soon, but right now they don't want to leave because they're searching for innocent citizens, and they're searching for some of their brothers and sisters.
Are you finding survivors?
Yes, we have some numbers that we can give you. We have 1,500 people at Liberty State Park who were evacuated, described as walking wounded. They were evacuated by ferry and other means. There are about 600 as of about 15 minutes ago in local hospitals that we account for. 600 people that are being treated in local hospitals. And there are 150 in particular that were critical, that were moved by EMS. New York City has 170 hospitals. So we have a lot of hospitals, and we're utilizing all of them. Probably the one that was the hardest hit was St. Vincent's Hospital. And I would like to just single them out and commend them, because as I was rushing down there after the first plane hit, before the second, they were already deploying people on the street. I could see the doctors and nurses outside getting ready to receive people. And that was before the second plane actually hit the World Trade Center.
What was your experience down there?
Also blood donations. We have several sites for blood donations. 153 East 53rd Street, 66th in Amsterdam, which is the Red Cross, and 310 East 67th Street. If people want to do something and they can donate blood, that's going to help not just today, but tomorrow and the next day. This relief effort is going to take some time.
Mr. Mayor, you were one of the first people down there. Can you describe the scene in your own words, what you saw down there?
I don't know that I'm really able to describe it. It was the most horrific scene I've ever seen in my whole life. We saw the World Trade Center in flames, a big gaping hole all the way on the top of it. We could see people jumping from the top of the building. And then we went into Barclay Street, 75 Barclay Street, I think it was, and we were there when the building collapsed, and it collapsed in part on 75 Barclay Street, so we were trapped in the building for maybe 10 or 15 minutes, trying to get out different exits. We finally went through a basement and came out 100 Park Place.
Did you ever fear for your own safety, sir?
Sure, yeah.
What went through your mind?
I don't think anything went through my mind other than making sure that we all remained calm and found an exit and just tried to figure out the most intelligent thing to do, probably the same thing that went through the minds of 10,000 other New Yorkers who I could see on the streets, and I really have to commend them. If you really want to know what New Yorkers are all about, you just watch the way in which they handled themselves. They didn't panic. They moved deliberately. They moved swiftly. But they didn't hurt each other. They helped each other. I mean, these are just the most wonderful people in the world.
Do you know anything about the composition of that dust that Blanket Sloman had? Is there any asbestos or any hazardous material in that dust?
I don't know. I don't know the answer.
Mr. Mayor, have you ever been told there was a gas explosion related to this? Are you aware of that? There was a gas leak or possible explosion?
We don't believe it. We don't believe that's the case.
Mr. Mayor, can you tell us anything about where the planes come from, the aircraft came from?
Bill Diamond reminds me that we've turned off the gas in the city buildings, just to be certain.
Can you tell us
a precaution
about where these aircraft came from? There was a report that may have been hijacked in Boston.
I think we should leave that up to the federal government Yes, we do have some information, but I think we should leave that up to the federal government to release that information. Our focus is on the relief efforts. And
Governor, do you think there should be any retaliation on the part of the United States for what happened here in this country, both in New York, Washington, other places?
First step right now, Marcia, is to make sure we do everything to help those people who need our support, and whether they're injured or still trapped in buildings. The second thing is to make sure at the same time we're providing the maximum security against possible additional incidents. But clearly, this is an attack upon America. It's an attack upon our freedom and our way of life, and we must retaliate and go after those who perpetuated this heinous crime against the people of America.
Mayor, this is just compared to Pearl Harbor.
This is a vicious, unprovoked, horrible attack on innocent men, women, and children. It's one of the most heinous acts, certainly in world history. And as the governor said, and I said to the president, we fully and completely support him in any action that he has to take in order to make an example out of the people who are responsible for this.
Is it an act of war in your mind?
I don't know that I want to use those words. I think the president is the one that has to respond, and I think what he has to know is that all of us in New York support him and support him completely in the efforts that he's going to have to make over the next couple of days, week, and to make a point that that people can't do this. You can't attack innocent men, women, and children. And ultimately, I'm totally confident that American democracy and the American rule of law will prevail. And the people of New York are going to help to demonstrate that over the next couple of days.
Anybody take responsibility for this? Any group take responsibility at this time? And what is the city doing to safeguard the citizens now that something like this has happened?
Well, first of all, I don't know of anyone that's taken responsibility for it at this time. And secondly, the New York City Police Department is fully deployed, not just in the rescue effort, but all throughout the city of New York, offering as much protection and as much security as we're capable of for the citizens of the city. And at this point, I believe that the people in New York City can demonstrate our resolve and our support for all the people that were viciously attacked today by going about their lives and showing everyone that vicious, cowardly terrorists can't stop us from being a free country and a place that functions, and we'll do everything we can to make that point.
Jennifer Steiner, please.
Just a housekeeping. Can you please tell us what's going to happen to the New York primary?
This morning, I issued an order suspending the primary across the state. There will be no primary today, and we'll reschedule it once we get through this.
How many people would have been? Do you guys want this to be municipal services right now? What's going on in the subway, in the schools, the courts?
The subway, the schools, the chancellor, I commend the chancellor. He was on the phone a number of times with us. He coordinated very, very carefully what would happen. He thought it out, and he came up with a very good plan, which was essentially to keep the schools open, to keep the children in school, so we didn't have a large number of children in the different boroughs that would be released from school. They're being released, I shouldn't say as normal, but basically on the normal schedule. If parents aren't there to pick up the young children, then the children will be taken to a center, and the parents will be notified to come and pick them up. The children who have Metro cards, who normally travel on the subway, will be able to do that. The subways are functioning in four of the five boroughs, and can we get an update, Joe, on how the subway is doing in Manhattan?
All the lettered lines are working.
And in Manhattan?
In Manhattan, lines, all the lettered lines.
All the lettered lines are working, including in Manhattan. And throughout the rest of the city, public transportation is normal. So the children should be able to return from school in the normal fashion. And if any children don't have parents to pick them up, then we'll hold them, let the parents know, and then the parents can come and pick them up.
Mr. Mayor, you mentioned you were on Barclay Street. What's the radius of damage that's been affected? How many other side streets around the world?
I don't think we know yet. The whole area of Lower Manhattan has been very much affected by it.
How many police and fire are involved?
Like
how NYPD off-duty officers, they come in? Or like
all NYPD and FDNY offices are on duty now. And we're going to need all of them. And again, thanks to the governor and the way in which the state reacted, we will have 1,600 National Guard to relieve them over a period of time so we can get some relief for them.
If anybody's looking for someone that may have been in the World Trade Center or in and around that area, what should they do?
We're going to give you numbers so that we can try to help coordinate that. Individual businesses have already done that. But we will, as soon as we can find some time from the relief efforts, give you a number in which people can call, and then we can direct them to the right place.
Are there national reports of looting or anything like that?
Any lawlessness?
There have been no reports of lawlessness, no reports of looting. As I said, we saw a lot of people that were part of the escape effort, and they seem to be conducting themselves in a very, very sensible way, a very deliberate way. They seem to be helping each other. So I don't think we have any reports like that at all.
So the only National Guard we'll see will be in Lower Manhattan in the bomb site area. They won't be patrolling the rest of Manhattan.
No, the purpose of it is to help with the relief effort. We're gonna need the help of the state, the surrounding areas with heavy duty equipment.
When will they be arriving? National Guard troops, some have arrived already, and we expect to have the up to close to 2,000 between the National Guard and the state police by later this evening.
Mayor Bridges and tunnels will have to stay closed.
I think everything is closed for now, and then maybe in about an hour or two we can give you an update on what the plan will be for tomorrow.
We saw a lot of lightly injured people walking out of the area because obviously the emergency services were needed for the very seriously injured. People covered with dust, some people had difficulty breathing. Is there any health advice to give to people who are caught in this thing, who are not necessarily at risk of losing their life,
Obviously, if you feel ill or you feel that you've been affected by it, you should go to a hospital and get checked out. But if it's just discomfort that you feel, then you can do basically what we did, was to wash our faces off and get rid of the clothes and get to an area where you can breathe in fresh air.
How many people were in the World Trade Center at the time of this attack?
I mean, it was. Business had already started. It was
so
right before 9 o'clock. I don't know. I don't know.
Tens of thousands?
Yes. Approximately. Someone just gave me a number of approximately 10,000, but that's a guess.
How long will the city remain on a heightened state of alert?
Until we're told not to. I mean, until the FBI and the police department and the federal government tells us that we shouldn't. Right now, the city is on should be on a state of alert. Now, that instead of frightening people, that should make people feel more confident that everything is being done to keep things secure. And again, let me emphasize that the reason for the National Guard, because I heard the question before, is to help with the relief effort, not because there's any fear of any other problems in the city right now.
How is the Mr. Mayor, can you tell us about the other public buildings?
City Hall, One Police Plaza, when will Chief State need a return?
I don't know yet. Hopefully soon, but I don't know the answer to that.
And we heard reports that One Police Plaza was evacuated. Was that true?
No, the command center is open.
And it was never.
We have people in the command center right now.
There have also been reports of large loss of life among the police and firemen who were sent there to rescue people. How accurate are those reports?
There is no question that we lost police officers and firefighters, and some that I know personally, and all of us here know personally, that we're very worried about. And we're not going to know the answer to that until much later. And maybe we should just close now and give you a briefing later. And I would just ask everyone, I talked to Cardinal Egan before, because he's at St. Vincent's Hospital. Everybody should, in their own way, say a prayer and ask God for help and for assistance, and also ask God to give us the strength to overcome this, because I know we're going to need strength to overcome it. And I want the people of New York to be an example to the rest of the country and the rest of the world that terrorism can't stop us. American democracy is much stronger than vicious, cowardly terrorists, and we're going to overcome this.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. Well done, Mayor.
Are we doing
Now we're listening to, or have just listened to, is Mayor Giuliani, Governor Pataki, Police Commissioner Bernard Kerik, who have just briefed the media about the situation in Lower Manhattan. The mayor would not talk specific numbers.
Two fifty-four. As I'm joined by John Gambling and Ron Kuby, we've been on all morning long since this tragedy occurred with the first plane crashing into the World Trade Center North Tower right before 9 o'clock, and then quickly followed by the second plane that had been hijacked into the South Tower. And then we heard the plane crash that had occurred just within the half hour afterwards at the Pentagon. And we've been getting updates all morning and afternoon from our ABC News correspondents. But in this case, we heard the mayor and Governor Pataki and Police Commissioner Bernard Kerik at, I guess, the new Office of Emergency Management, because their old office that was built with millions of dollars installed with state-of-the-art equipment had to be evacuated because it was attached to the two World Trade Center towers that came tumbling down hours and hours ago. And you could almost tell, at least I could, from the way the mayor handled the questions, that quite a few of police and fire and EMTs and other emergency service personnel who we know, just like in 1993, were working inside the building and the immediate cordoning off the outside of the building, may well have perished when both buildings came toppling down.
Yeah, I asked that question earlier, too. It seemed fairly obvious that with those buildings coming down and people on the ground even, you know, right at the base of the buildings, that there would be casualties.
And probably disproportionately high among police, fire department, rescue workers who were coming in to the scene when the second.
And I think the mayor was setting the scene here when asked directly by the reporters at the press conference about casualty counts. He said this is not the time to go into that. But
the numbers will be more than we can bear.
And at the end there, I think he did a very good job about setting the scene and kind of tempering the moment and telling us all that we need to prove not only to ourselves in America but to the world that this sort of thing is not going to stop us from what we do, and be prepared for the pain that we're going to have to go through.
And just remember, everyone, as people were fleeing the building, some of whom we've talked to, the people who were able to escape becoming victimized by the explosions in both the World Trade Centers, that as people run out, emergency personnel run in.
Right.
They don't just cordon off the outside and keep you at a three-block radius away. Many of them immediately go inside, try to find the source of the fire or the problem, check the emergency stairwells. They actually comb the building to try to find if there are any strays or any injured victims who need assistance. And when we saw both the towers come down almost simultaneously within a half hour, you can just imagine the brave men and women who must have been inside doing their duty and possibly just having all of that debris fall on top of them and take their lives.
Once again, in a situation like this, everybody has a 20/20 hindsight, but I wonder if they did have structural engineers people on the ground who would inform them that of the possible dangers of these buildings collapsing. Was that in your mind that the building would collapse?
Right.
Back
after the 1993 bombing, when it was revealed that the idea was to plant a sufficiently large charge of explosives in 93 to cause the first tower to crash into the second, people were very well aware that that was a possibility, but I don't think anybody could have reasonably foreseen airplanes, civilian aircraft being hijacked and crashed.
What I'm saying is, once they're in the building, when you were watching this,
yes.
For me, when the bill, I said, first I thought, I saw the billows of smoke and the building disappeared behind them. My first reaction was, maybe they're using some sort of flame retardant that is causing smoke. The buildings collapsing one after the other was a shock upon a shock.
All right, Richard, we'll catch up with you on that point momentarily, but it's Commissioner Jerry Camerota of the City of New York who's given us updates all morning and afternoon. Jerry, are you there? Jerry? I guess Jerry is not there at this particular moment. We'll join him momentarily. But, Richard, I was looking, and as devastating as it appeared, particularly when we actually saw the second plane crash in to about the 60th floor. Excuse me, let me go right to Jerry Camerota, City Commissioner. Jerry?
Yeah, Curtis.
Yes, Jerry. Any further updates you have? Because we're running up on the hour here.
Well, I just want to tell you, I was walking along Warren and Church where we have the jet engine, and just to humanize all of this, there on the ground, which is truly blocks away, is Pierre Picardi, his business card laying in all of the dust and all of the paper on the ground. And what's really striking is where he works is in suite 7701. That means this had to be right in the heart of where the explosion was. So certainly to the family of the Picardis, I just hope that he is home. But to find this business card just humanizes it to the point of not being able to even think about the ramifications of this.
Well, we hope to be joined by you later with any more information. Sean Hannity coming up next.
WABC New York. 1050 ESPN Radio. WEVD New York. Our coverage of America under attack continues. With this report from ABC News.
From ABC News. I'm Karen Chase. President Bush said freedom itself has been attacked in the unprecedented and unbelievable terrorist attack that toppled New York's Twin Trade Center towers and left the Pentagon in flames.
We will do whatever is necessary to protect America and Americans.
Witnesses watched in disbelief as the Trade Center towers disappeared from the city skyline nearly an hour after each was hit by separate commercial passenger jets.
It's like a banana. It just peeled down and just came right down. And the other one was bound to come down, and that's what happened. It just came down. Just came down.
The president has since been flown to the nation's Strategic Air Command at a Nebraska Air Force base. He plans to hold a security teleconference later in the day. ABC's Bob Schmidt.